break down Eddie Stark.
Australian little boy dad. From the Fingers.
Boss Radio, classic rock.
So it's true, hey? I'm gonna take off with King Robbo. Means anything to you, I thought you were a fantastic archery coach.
Yeah, it doesn't all have to be archery. He's got other combat skills that he can teach youngsters.
Yeah, like, two-handed weapons.
You're fired.
Yeah, I got fired from being archery coach. Let's move to two-handed weapons.
You're lying.
I'll kick that in the dick.
It's a natural progression. It's a natural progression on this thing.
Let's just start like
it's
that.
Better.
Yeah.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, friends of all ages, sizes, creeds, dilemmas. This is Game of Bones. We're
friends
here
of all dilemmas.
Week.
Welcome.
You may have heard a voice joining us that you've never heard before, or if you have heard before, you're very excited because this is one of your favorite people on the entire planet. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands, fins, legs, wallabies together for Mr. Aussie Man.
Yeah, bloody cheers. Cheers. No worries.
We'll put
no
sound
worries.
Effects there. Could you send me the Hans Zimmer guitar riff to put right in there?
Absolutely. That's one of my signature soundtracks is from the Drop Zone soundtrack. In the days where orchestra and guitar solos worked beautifully together.
Oh, those were the days.
They were good days. They were good days.
We're glad to have you here, my friend. And it's been a quite an exciting time since we've virtually met and have had the pleasure of inhabiting the space that is being inhabited. And a fifth season is approaching.
Yeah. No, cheers for having me.
You're probably, at this point, most notably known for your beautiful work on YouTube with the Oberon versus the Mountain Denial version video, which I think was seen by multiple millions of people, celebrated by presidential candidates, just in general, respected people around the globe. So it's good to have you.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, that was a fun video. It was nice to tap into some kind of collective mood. Obviously, I'm a big fan. I support the direction that the show's going in. I know it's got to go that way. It's just Pedro Pascal kicked that role in the dick. He smashed it. So it was very hard to let go of him. And I think that was definitely a collective feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was interesting. One of my coworkers was visiting Spain, and he posted a picture in memoriam of the Prince of Dorne, because I guess he visited where some of the last season was filmed.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So it was it's sad, man. I mean, Oberyn is just such a badass character.
Yeah.
You know, like, tell your father I'm here.
Micah has a very famous riff. Every time he wants
it's
to
it's more
make
Italian
a
than...
It's like a blend.
You know, yeah. Dornish, but...
Takes the best of all the classical languages and just comes out in a
simply
delicious Dornish form.
Bone,
oh, gosh.
Better than all the rest.
I'm hoping that this episode culminates with an ending like that.
Oh, yeah.
That is the Oberyn theme, though. Ozzy, you got that right on the money there.
It's truth, yeah, because he is the best in many ways. Like, he's one of those characters that comes along, and you know we like him because he stood for some things, and those are always the characters that get fucked over, unfortunately. But you know he was you know, we don't hurt little girls in Dawn, we treat bastards well. He was a top bloke. So we liked him for that. He was simply the best ethically, morally there, and he was, look, it was a fucking mint fighter. that was some unbelievable.
Just confirm the kill, that's all we're
confirm
asking.
That's
the kill.
All he had to do. It's fucking, you know, if he fucking got John Wick Keanu Reeves on that and just bloody a few
that
more stabs.
That shit would have been done. Yeah, no, yeah. It would have been over in 3 seconds.
He was just a notch away from the ultimate professionalism.
He was.
Yeah. Well, he got emotional. He got his feelings, you know. That's it. His sense of justice, trying to pull Tywin into it. So that's another fight. That's a separate fucking fight.
Season 5 approaches, and there are about 7,000 different fights that I'm assuming are going to happen, because I know a big chunk of excitement right now that's happening with all of you listening at home is what happened this week. And when I say what happened this week, all of you know what I'm talking about, because we've gotten a trailer for Season 5 previously, and we had an episode where it was discussed, broken down, conversations happened online, but I think it's safe to say that the trailer that we were dropped this week during the Apple event and that we've all been ingesting in our free time and possibly during times that we're not so free, is one of those, yeah, one of those things that we can all... Yeah, exactly. I think we can all honestly agree that it was simply mind-blowing.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No question. I mean, just a lot of action, which I guess you normally expect with the trailer. But, you know, thinking back on the first one that we got and comparing it to this, I mean, there's just so much more to take a look at. And I think, you know, not just from an Unsullied standpoint, but from a Sullied standpoint from the book side, we saw a lot of different things that I don't think we were anticipating seeing. So it's completely new territory for me as a book reader to see some of the scenes that I saw.
That is something that excites me, is this building equality between book wankers and TV show only fans. Mm-hmm. What do you call them? Sullied and Unsullied. You got yeah, a little slang there.
Wankers is fine.
Wankers and just TV show people. It's nice that it is approaching, you know, an era of equality between the two groups, because Winds of Winter, I don't know, there's some rumors that it might come out like October or something this year, I think, but essentially when this season finishes, both book wankers, TV show only people, will really have not a fucking clue what's coming next a good window there until that next book comes out and the book wankers get onto it. But yeah,
I'll finally be able to share a meal with Micah and my other friends without being looked down upon. It'll be a beautiful, beautiful time.
It's like, okay, yeah, sure, we don't know what happens in the book, but none of us know what goddamn happens in the TV show. This trailer was the second substantial glance into what's coming in the future season, and there's been a lot of news recently about that. There's been some publications, there's been some in general just news about happenings that have, you know, gone on and set. We had that wonderful documentary, and it's amazing now to see the finished product of when they were turning that palace over as well. You kind of got a glimpse of that in the trailer. So just this, everything's coming full circle. Like, it feels like all the little glimpses we've seen are turning into actual scenes with actual characters now. So, I mean, I felt that the trailer was very character-driven, but reading a lot of news from the set, do you guys hear there's apparently a bomb plot for the set of Game of Thrones this season?
It was posted recently. Apparently this happened several months ago, and there's question as to whether or not it actually happened. There's like, from top down on Twitter, someone had mentioned that it may not have happened. But either way, it's been reported that terrorists...
Telegram.
We can only assume that these were Greyjoy dissenters, right?
No, wait. You're talking behind the scenes here. Like you said, bomb plot. It's not an actual plot in the story.
Like
where,
a really
like,
good
someone...
plot. Like an excellent plot.
Yeah.
wildfire plot there.
Like a ticking clock bomb, like Tyrion has to fucking disarm and he turns into a bomb disarmer.
Oh, how cool would that be?
Season 5.
How cool would that be?
That'd be pretty fucking rad. my mind went down that track when you said there's a bomb plot this season. I'm like, what are you talking about? Well, I haven't heard that plot. Like, was that in the books? Was that shit in the books?
It really is getting different from the books. Like, it's very different now.
Will fans go with that?
Just like you are. The studio where they film Game of Thrones, of course, they film a lot on location. So this is Titanic Studios, and it was actually the target, apparently, were these security guards that they have. The security personnel who were expected to gather in this area where the bomb either had been placed or was meant to be placed. There's very little details. It had something to do with them being former coppers, as you would say, Aussie men, former members of the nearby police. It's terrifying because, you know, these aren't just people who hated that the Red Viper died. You know, it's a serious plot against people who work on the show, and it's a serious plot against the show.
It's some real world shit. It's not like people that are like, oh, let's fucking attack one of the greatest shows in the world while they're filming. It was actually some shit where it was between authorities or something.
Yeah,
that's rough.
Right.
The plot was foiled. This is one of the greatest verbs that has ever been devised in our
modern. Foiled? Yeah, I like it too.
Security has been beefed up, and everything is fine in the universe. We just thought that'd be interesting to mention.
That's good. It's terrible to go down the train of thought of what if it actually happened. Like, how sucky that would be. I don't even want to indulge that thought for too long.
No.
It's like, holy shit, what if it happened?
I mean, the only reason this story leaked, I mean, that's what it did, it leaked. It wasn't released. This was something that they handled. This was something that they handled months ago. I mean, we're talking 8 or 9 months ago. And somebody, apparently somebody dishonest or something, was either hacking or leaking. Sunday Life exposed the bomb conspiracy, says this story on Watchers on the Wall that I'm reading. They uncovered security documents with tip-offs from sources. So somebody followed up on some security documents and found out that this was a real thing that had happened. And it's mildly terrifying.
It's just right now is an incredibly hot time for Game of Thrones. If you guys remember what it was like last year during the fourth season, I feel like this is starting even earlier and the fervor is even higher than it ever has been. And I know that that's easy just to assume and say because we're in the midst of what's happening. Like we're all involved in our own ways. But honestly, just this bit, James Hibbard, who is a reporter for Entertainment Weekly, who does an excellent job covering Game of Thrones every year, and we have contacts with him. He's a great guy. During the production of season 5, he spent a total of 240 hours on location with Game of Thrones in 3 different countries and came out with an excellent cover story that has been promoted today that I think broke the internet in a way that Kim Kardashian didn't. I mean, there was no champagne glass balancing in this case, but there was certainly 4 separate covers that are being collected by people that don't normally buy physical printed things any longer. And Arya Stark is on one of them. So I just think that this is something that's incredibly exciting because and we all know that season 5 is fast approaching. But when this starts to happen, when we get this kind of news, it's just about to happen.
We're 1 month.
The hype machine is well exactly. turned on at the moment. It's building up day by day.
Yeah. What I like about these covers, too, is the house sigils on each of them that they included there. So, you know, Daenerys, Jon.
That's too cool.
Tyrion and Arya all have, respectively, their house sigils there.
That reminds me of the old NES authentic signature certificate on old Nintendo games. Just because it looks bronze, but it's obviously much more detailed than that. I'm so proud to be a subscriber to Entertainment Weekly because they can't wait until I figure out which one of these 4 is going to come to me. And then, of course, I just have to buy the other 3.
Uh-huh. Yeah, that was what I was going to ask. It's more of a collector's edition, really, to buy all the different covers, right? The content's not going to be any different inside of them.
They mention on the front it's your complete obsessive geek-tastic guide to Game of Thrones. Yeah. So there's got to be some juicy story stuff in there as well. The covers are shit hot, aren't they? They're fucking.
They really are. They really are.
That is good.
They are shit hot. They are shit.
Yeah, I see what you're talking. I've just brought it up now. Sorry, I'm always a bit behind or blank out or I'll do something. But I see
the internet
what you're talking.
Lags down there, right?
Actually, yeah. Don't get me ranting about what the internet's like here. But no, I see what you are fucking talking about now. You got your Daenerys there. You got your Jon Snow. Kit Harington's starting to look fucking badass, isn't he? The longer this show goes,
he really is. Yeah. He's
sinking into the role. He's I like him. I like him is what I'm saying. It took me a while to warm up, but I'm there.
No, I feel you. Tyrion's got a new friend. It's that thing growing on his face.
That's brilliant.
It comes from being in a box everyone likes. For who knows how long, of course. We've seen it in the trailer.
Yeah, it looks good for spending however long inside of a crate.
No, I feel like it's very well... very well kept right now.
The scar is healing nicely. It's nice to see that.
Yeah,
that scar. What do you all think of that byline there, and Ned Stark speaks from the grave?
Wait, what one? What is that on? Where have they done that?
I can't see
it's on
it.
The, it's done that.
Oh, it's on man. All of Ned Stark speaks from the grave.
Just a little side series in the magazine. Just Sean Bean answers a few questions.
I assume it's an interview with Sean Bean where he just says, man, I should have picked a different character to play.
He's talking about his new show, Eddie Stark.
Over every Eddie Stark, time. Australian dad. Australian.
Former archer coach.
Guys, I've got
coach.
Some news. There's a spin-off. That show's been picked up by a bloody competitor AMC, and they're running with Eddie Stark, Australian dad.
I'm surprised HBO released the rights for that, but I guess it's not that strong of a storyline. That's good enough.
Exactly. They collaborated also with some Australian companies over here, and we managed to get the rights done, and it's going to be filming. So that's what Sean Bean will be announcing in all of these Entertainment Weekly magazines. Yeah, he's working on his accent. I'm on daily calls with Sean. I'm his vocal coach.
Nice.
Well, he lost his vocal cords, so he needs help there.
He's coming. Look, guys, he's doing well. He's going to be really good. It's going to be about 15 seasons, I think they've signed for.
You're like, but he dies in the third episode. So
yeah, exactly. I haven't broken that to him yet. But so, Sean, There was a writer's meeting.
Can I just take a moment to appreciate this, the scale of what's happening, the fact that we've got four separate Entertainment Weekly covers that are so inclusive to the kinds of people that would be listening to a podcast or the kinds of people that would be reading these books obsessively. Like, I feel like we're making some serious steps forward. And I don't want to say geek culture invading the mainstream, but there's certainly something to be said about what we're looking at here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Geek culture has always been mainstream, in my opinion. It's just nobody's really had the medium to talk about it. I feel like now in this day and age, people are much more open with that kind of stuff. Like, they feel like it's cool to be a geek.
Mm.
I agree.
I just don't feel like it's geeky, though. You know what I mean? Like, what about Game of Thrones? I mean, if anything, it's brutal. I mean, I don't know. That's a completely different conversation. I don't want to go down that road.
You can't renege. You've opened it to the worms now.
Don't renege on your bets, man.
Yeah, it's a fair conversation, I think. It's a goodie. And I hear what Micah was saying there, that, well, I think it's always been popular, like fantasy. We're talking about the genre might be recognized as geeky. Fantasy, you know, yeah, genres like fantasy, sci-fi, blah, blah, blah. They've been popular, like your bloody Tolkien's.
They have been,
But now what we got as well is, yeah, we got the internet, which is fantastic because it means like blokes like us can get together when normally we wouldn't be able to. So maybe that's why it seems like it's a bit bigger or widespread.
Well, it's just like, and even though I count myself as one of the unsullied members of this, what's a good word for?
Well, that in and of itself is geeky, that you refer to yourself as unsullied.
Oh, yeah, as unsullied, right. I'm glad we came up with that name. No, but I'm looking at this Kit Harington cover for Entertainment Weekly, and I see his little sword there, you know, little hilt of his sword.
Be careful with your word choice there.
Oh, yeah, well, sorry. It's Longclaw, but I know its name is Longclaw.
It went from being his little sword to being Longclaw.
Longclaw, his little sword, Longclaw. No, I know little that sword, it's Longclaw. I know it's got a history. I know it's originally from, well, I mean, for Bear Island, it was meant for Jorah.
Is it pointed up at Daenerys or down?
That depends. They put his Tyrion image above Daenerys, so I feel like it's pointing down to Tyrion, actually. But actually, no, Tyrion, the sword, the blade of Longclaw is what Peter Dinklage is holding on to in the below image, if you look carefully.
Oh, that makes sense.
Yeah.
That's perfect.
He's going to cut himself on Longclaw.
Are you sure? Is that just a pole?
I think it's just a pole. Okay, you call me out, Ozzy, man.
It's just a pole.
It's Tyrion's stripper pole.
He's just doing casual, I'm leaning on a pole.
He is wearing a little excess.
Well, let have a beard, etc. Yeah. I think I see where you're getting, though, Eric. Like, what you're basically saying is, this means, like, to the casual, or even the very interested fan, they're seeing a guy with a sword, and it's cool. Like, it's a fantasy series, and it's on TV.
Because swords are cool.
Because swords are cool, and it's a big deal. But to us, there's history, and there's context, and we pull so much more out of it.
It's clearly, like, it's fan service, like, for us to notice these little things. But it was kind of fan service, and it's not. It's like, this succeeds as just a regular, like, cool cover, because it's fantasy. Like you're saying, Zach, there's a guy with a sword. It's cool. But I mean, even looking at Daenerys's neck piece, I wouldn't even call it a necklace because it appears to be, I guess, attached to her torso of what she's wearing. But there's clearly a history behind
it's a fucking
that
piece of furniture.
It's a coat rack, actually.
It's a brooch.
Yeah, it's a coat rack.
It's like an ornament that goes on a Christmas tree.
It's an ornament of that history that we respond to because we've read about it or seen it so far on the show.
It's the three-headed dragon is what it is, yeah? You see the little three heads of the dragons on there?
Yep, that's where I first looked. There you go. Right there. When I saw above. Can we talk briefly? I mean, Arya Stark, Maisie Williams, appears quite grown up in this cover, in her cover, and there's an additional image where we get to see her costume more fully, and they've got her in sort of a longer dress. But I'm surprised and pleased. I mean, you know, we've seen her in the trailer footage, and Arya's plotline, if I can say this, is probably my most anticipated for going into season 5.
I mean, that's a fair thing to say. People have been with us throughout the on season and who concluded the season with us last year know how excited we were to see what happened with her story and how it happened. But I think it begs to be repeated that her performance was outstanding. And so to see her character and her herself get this sort of recognition alongside the series in such a large way is very, very cool and exciting. So I feel celebratory for the character, for the actress, and just for everyone involved, like just to see all of this moving forward the way it is.
Yeah, she's definitely in the top tier, like of just unwavering, undisputed, fantastic actors, and also, yeah, just nailing the character as well. So definitely the journey that she's going on, I think, is very intriguing. I mean, it's how they ended season four as well, was Arya getting to the front of the boat, and she's a huge new journey.
You will have the cabin.
Valamorghulis.
Well, I mean, and that's just it. Unless there are 11... unless there are 26 other Entertainment Weekly covers coming, I mean, these are the four, you know, one for each of the characters. These are the four characters that Entertainment Weekly chose to focus on. And what does that mean, you know, as kind of beings who analyze everything for the show and for our own greater betterment of mankind? Very humble there, but I feel like these are the four characters. Are these the four then major most players in season five? Are we to take this to mean that Daenerys, who's going to break the wheel, Jon Snow, who's got a lot going in the north of the wall, Tyrion, who's forming a new alliance from the trailer, and Arya, who's finding herself, and maybe others in Braavos. Like, are these going to be the four main characters of the season, do you guys think?
Well, I also think, and we could definitely probably argue over this, these are the four most well-known characters in the series.
Yeah,
interesting.
At least at this point. And I would say, you know, given that James Hibbard spent all this time on set, and I would think that he would look to focus on those that he feels are the most important, and I'm sure he's spoken with David and Dan and others to know which way the story is going and who should really be the focal points of season five. But you know, just going back to Arya for a second, I'm almost disappointed in a way that they spoiled us with Braavos, you know, earlier with Stannis and Davos going there to the bank, because I think it would be really cool effect to see Arya at the start of season five, arriving in Braavos, seeing the Titan of Braavos,
right.
And kind of for the first time, you know, because it was such a short trip. It was such a quick scene with Stannis and Davos being there.
Well, without that scene, we would wonder how the hell they showed up north, you know, because like he was losing the war badly. But I understand what you're saying. I mean, they may still show that. Who knows? You know, her arriving. I feel like everybody in season five will just be the first episode will just be everybody getting off the boat they stepped onto.
fucking Gendry will rock up. It's I.
My arms are huge.
I found a shoreline. Where the fuck am I? Bloody!
I've been rowing.
I didn't
for
fall
seasons.
Out, Davos.
If Gendry still has both his arms, I will be fucking. No. Shocked.
They're going to be the size of dragons.
Quote. Yeah. He could just 1-2 punch Viserion out of the game.
He has dragon glass.
Oh my god.
No, that would be fun. A boats arriving to shorelines montage to just kick things off.
I think they should set it to simply
the crate
best.
Falls out.
Just to also be an asshole here, for these magazines, they are also like, you know, yeah, they're the most renowned and kind of bankable and recognizable kind of people in the show as well. So
exactly.
I'm hoping there are other characters that, like, I would think that would have some big moments. Like, I'm hoping people like Davos or even Barristan have some big moments in season five, but they're not bankable magazine cover.
Right. It's kind of like Stannis in the books, right? Or as a character, he's not very well liked. He's a contender for the king. You know, looking at these covers, Daenerys is the only one who I would say is like going for the kingship, you know, going for ruling.
Yeah.
So they're not showing like the kings aren't the ones who are on these covers. You know, Daenerys is there.
Well, they're all dead.
No, I'm suggesting that in the show there's quite a few who are still alive. So, but they're not going with them.
Yeah, they could do. I think Micah made a little quip about it, like, oh yeah, they'll do one for each character. They could do that, one for every day of the year. You get your you get your Hordor, you get your bloody
Hordor's on. We're making everyone happy.
Yeah.
This is Hot Pie's day. It's beautiful.
Oh, I want a page a day calendar. Can we just put in a petition for a Game of Thrones page a day calendar?
Yeah,
I wouldn't take much.
Revive
Sir
Dontos.
This is Hot Pie's day. This is
Hot Pie. Yep, bloody put him on a cover.
Cole. Put him
on the cover of Cooking Light or something.
Yeah. Popular. Put him in like a cover with Gordon Ramsay and fucking Jamie Oliver. Hot Pie spin-off show.
This is not food. He's like, you do not give up on the gravy.
It's all about the gravy.
Do they have Entertainment Weekly in Australia? I mean, is that just a regularly available?
Do you guys
publication?
Have running water and toilets there?
No. Look, I've only been as a regularly available publication. Entertainment Weekly, Australia, Aussie, anything?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. We got that in the newsagents. Yep.
Yeah.
Well, what do you guys call it? The bloody newsagents.
They're probably the same thing here. I just don't go to them. But I feel like the reason I ask is because Game of Thrones has made leaps and bounds, made a lot of effort, a ton of effort, to actually have its show, have its material available immediately all across the globe in as many countries as possible. This is another story that came out that it's actually going to be season 5 will be simulcast in, which is like broadcast at the same time, through hundreds of different networks in 170 countries across the globe. And this is a sign of the times. It's like, yeah, we got 4 new covers for the magazine. It's great. Season 5 is just going to, it's going to be available. People from all over the world are going to be watching it at the same exact moment. In 170 different countries. I can't name 170 countries. You'd be hard-pressed to find someone who can.
Well,
but
can I just say, though, that now nobody complained about being spoiled.
Yeah.
Because you're all going to have the opportunity to see it at the same time.
Oh my God. That's what Twitter's you get from going this story, is that nobody can complain.
All right, fellas. That's the moral of the story.
Let's do this. I'm going to shit on your parade again. Yes and no. It's still a baby step in a way, because where is it going to air live? It will be on the same companies that kind of lock it down, so we can't get a variety of companies to choose from. So in Australia, that's Foxtel. For those who watch my reviews, you know at the end I always take a dig at Foxtel. Why? Because they lock the content down in contracts. So you don't have any choice as a consumer to go, oh, I want to get it from iTunes Australia, or I want to get it from QuickFlix. So yes, it will screen at the same time. But my big question is it only going to scream at the same time on Foxtel, so people have to sign a 12-month contract for $450? Yeah, in that regard, it's not a huge step forward. It's a baby step, because those who already had Foxtel would watch it like 24 hours. They'd call it fast track. It's been fast tracked to Foxtel. So they'd watch it like on a Monday night over here. So they've leveled it up, so there's no bloody, what do you call it academically, bloody digital distance. So it'll be at the same time, but only for those who can still afford the bloody premium cable company deals and contracts. So when you think of it like that, it's still going to be pretty inaccessible for a lot of people that can't afford to be with those cable companies but still love the show. Or people that don't want to give their money to those cable companies because ethically they don't like that they lock it down. Like Foxtel actually went out of their way to say, nah, QuickFlix can't have it, iTunes can't have it, a couple of years ago. When HBO, I think, wanted to give it to them, Foxtel whipped up the contract and went, hey, HBO, what the fuck are you doing? So
remember the
it's kind of like, until they break away from these kind of middle distributors that are just basically clinging to have a business, because the internet is so decentralized and uncontrolled.
Changing the landscape.
Until there's a big move to kind of go with that. Like, I'd love to see HBO just put up their own little web page. Everyone can download it at the same time legally, pay $2 an episode, and without any digital rights management or anything. You can put it on whatever brand of USB you want and just plug it into your fucking TV. You don't have to go, oh, I got to have Apple TV and this and this and this.
Yep.
Louis C.K. In America, Louis C.K. is my big citation. He just puts it on his website. Here you go.
Yes,
have it.
$5.
Yeah. And I think that's great.
I mean, I wish that old media followed the models of what's happening much quicker. Obviously, that's a huge problem. It's not like what we all do. There are so many hurdles, hoops to jump through. It's archaic in many ways. And the fact that is still an issue in 2015, that there are so many issues, not only limited to entertainment, but just in general. Those of you listening, us here, we can kind of infer and understand those situations. And it's just, you know, I guess it comes along with the territory. Like, we're living in the midst of evolution in this sense. We're living in the midst of seeing things moving forward. And this is where, I mean, what we're seeing now after HBO announced the partnership with Apple – during that Spring Forward press event when they were talking about new laptop computers and more details on the Apple Watch. Oh, by the way, here is the CEO of HBO coming out on stage during an Apple event. How cool is that?
That's pretty cool.
And we're going to show you a trailer of Game of Thrones and also announce this official partnership. I mean, like, there's progress, but it's not quite to the level that we'd all like to see it. And that's the reason why Game of Thrones is the number one pirated show in the world, and that's the reason why television shows get pirated in the first place, is because the models aren't in line with what's happening. They're just, it's not modernized.
And one other thing I would add is, you know, even though it's simulcast, you still have the problem for certain people around the world of time. You know, somebody's not going to want to watch Game of Thrones at 4 o'clock in the morning, you know, even though it's 9 o'clock here on the East Coast, you know, of the United States. It's just,
right.
if you know, if you're a fan of the show and you're really passionate about it, you can't wait to see the episode, then maybe for those 10 weeks you make time for it. But I still think the majority of people who are fans of the show are still going to have to contend with the timing issue. You know, they'd love to see it at 9 o'clock at night their time, not 9 o'clock East Coast. But the reality is HBO is never going to move away from it. That's always going to be the time.
And that's fine. That's fine. Sorry, just going to cut you off.
No, that's fine. That's fine.
That's fine.
That's fine, everyone. Yes, but in a way, like, I think, don't overthink that, because why not give people the choice? That's all a lot of people, and definitely international fans, would ask, is like, you can talk about whether or not people will watch it at 5 a.m. in the morning. Why not give them the choice if the technology enables it? Because there are enough fanatical fans that probably would get up.
And the technology is there.
You probably find they'd make it a social event. Like, fuck it. People come up at, you know, let's get together. Let's watch it at 5 a.m. or let's stay up all night.
Okay, I'm flying to Perth. I'm sailing to Perth and we're going to have a party.
Hey, yeah. if people wait overnight in tents outside a movie theater for the next Twilight movie, I mean, I feel like there's...
Or outside of a Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah.
Seen that before. Buffalo Wild Wings.
It goes hand in hand with the genre because, you know, genres like fantasy, sci-fi, they have fanatical fans. So why not give them the choice to be able to watch it, you know, at whenever America screens it live. I think that's all a lot of international fans ask for, even if they can't make it that day, because yes, we all have commitments. You know, as long as you still got access to it easily enough to watch it 24 hours after, because the other thing is you want to avoid spoilers, a lot of people.
Right.
So you'd watch it as soon as you can still, but just give people the choice is I think an important step forward.
It's great that you're here to offer this perspective though, because we have this show has countless international fans. It's a worldwide phenomenon, and I feel like us here in the U.S. don't necessarily have to worry about a lot of the things connected with watching the show that you guys do. And obviously we hear about it from proxy, and we can sympathize, but we don't quite live in the same situation. So where HBO is making steps in the right direction, I think HBO Now is a huge deal, because they're one of the most traditional cable companies. And to see them switch to a standalone streaming service and forego their relationships with the titans in that industry,
that's
is very interesting.
Big deal.
Right. It is. It is a big deal.
And I just want to say, for me, like, I'm actually going to be lowering in the next couple of weeks. I'm going to be lowering my affinity with, or my affiliation with Comcast, who provides my cable, and just going with HBO Now. I mean, nothing else is happening in April to June that I'm going to care about on TV. So with HBO Now, and I don't know how widespread that is worldwide, but I mean, with HBO Now, it's going to give me the opportunity to watch Game of Thrones and not need to worry about paying for 300 more channels and stuff I don't need.
Yeah, Comcast, I've heard people relate Comcast to like Australia's Foxtel. So this kind of cable company.
Well, what about Sky? Do you know, Ozzy, do you know Sky? Is that similarly hated over New Zealand, Sky TV? Is it?
I'm not sure. I've heard of Sky, but I don't know too much about the other big cable companies around the world. I just know that every country's got one.
Welcome to Cablecast, where we talk about cable television. But I think this is great, though. I mean, I think that I'm assuming this is also replacing HBO Go.
HBO Go will still be available for those who subscribe to HBO through cable.
Oh, okay, good. Because I have that app.
Yeah, they will be two separate things.
I hate to lose the usefulness of an app.
It'll be the same content. I'm sure HBO Now will deliver more exciting content or in a different way. I mean, we can only guess at this point. It's an interesting thing, though. I mean, it's a big deal for a place that makes television shows, essentially, that puts out great high-quality program to get the kind of association that they have with the world's most successful company and to be integrated into the mainstream in this way. I think it's very exciting to see Michael Lombardo out on stage, where the same stage where iPads are being spoken about or the iWatch is being spoken about. And to see that same crowd, you know, one of the most exciting crowds in journalism of the year, you know, they have one or two of those events per year. I think two or three of those events per year. To see that same crowd out there applauding the world premiere of our new trailer that we're going to be speaking about in a bit. It's a good time to be a fan of the show. You know, it's a good time to be a fan of what people are doing. And I know that this progress is not enough. I know that it's not like the technology is there to do all of this in the right way. But it is a step in the right direction, and I'm glad to see that, because it begins with the step, and then from there, other places will follow, and if they don't, they'll die. You know, this is what we've all been saying should have happened and was happening years ago.
Yeah,
and people didn't see Netflix jumping up on original programming like they did and dominating like they have, and they didn't see all these things happening, but look at them happen. It's beautiful how it's just tumbling.
Look, I give it shit, but I do... every time I've heard the Michael Lombardo at HBO speak, he's good. Like I definitely like what he says in interviews, and for them it's weighing up. Like if they can sell to these kind of, you know, big cable companies around the world, they get, you know, they probably buy it for a lot. That's why they try and lock it down so only they have it, is because pay a lot for that acquisition. So if you're tempted on a business standpoint to just fucking let them, you know, buy the acquisition, buy it for a lot, and then you've sold the show, you know, it's going somewhere and you haven't been at a great loss because they've paid a lot for it, essentially. You know, to then break away from them to start taking more control of your own distribution, it is a big step, and I'm sure it does take time and consideration. So I call it a baby step, but yes, it is still...
You're right, though, man.
You know, it is still a decent step.
It is a baby step, because the technology is there, the information is there, all of the people that are... The powers that be understand. They're all people just like us. They completely understand. But the difference between our opinions and theirs is they're in control of a $5 billion company and we're not.
Oh, well, I got this little company going at the moment. I got a bloody barbecue company.
Aussie man's got a startup.
Delicious sauce. It's raspberry based. You should all try it. I've had it. It's great.
It's a tech sausage sizzle.
Sauteed dingo.
What's the name of the company, Aussie man?
No, I got no idea. I'm talking out of my ass. Yeah, it's called doing sausage sizzles at the front of Bunnings, which is a hardware store.
This is just a bunch. We're yes anding, Eric. Yes and with us.
Yes and.
I mean, obviously, this is good. It's just like we would fucking like to see, you know, it done well. It's so traditional. This is such a, it's a traditional industry. I think the gods that a traditional industry is warming up to the likes of people like us the way that they are. You know,
also
like
the power is,
but the power is truly going in the hands of the consumers. It's just it's a process. But the more connected we are, the louder our voices are, and the more likely things like this are to happen. So
I want
to
break into
it's going to be exciting
we
to
are
see
the world. We
are exciting to see how this new technology affects this fifth season, you know? The ability for us all to come together like this. It's going to be fun. There's going to be a lot more screen caps.
Can I make a request for the screening of the first episode at Barclays Center again? I saw they're doing it up at the University of Buffalo, which is random.
Where the fuck is Buffalo?
Exactly. No, I'm sure we have at least one listener in Buffalo who now despises us.
Sorry, listener.
Or at least
Buffalo
despises Eric.
You know, Buffalo's always getting coated with snow. I had a teacher from Buffalo. He was talking about like 20 feet of snow. I was like, no, get rid of that shit. We're gonna actually find in April that event can't happen because it's going to be covered in 20 feet of snow. I mean, knock on wood. I don't want everybody to get, you know, I know clearly some actors like Kit will be able to handle it, but I just feel.
I don't think he wears his furs. Offset.
I feel like
he just has a sword with him.
He fucking should. No. But sorry, Mike, to jump on your thing. But I think, I think I know where you're going with this, which is why is Buffalo get this huge premiere thing?
I mean, it's great for the university, you know, for the students up there for sure. But I heard about you know, premiere going on in London. So I'm hoping at least there'll be one here in the U.S., whether it's in New York or L.A.,
San Francisco.
Or San Francisco.
On the 23rd, yeah.
On the 23rd.
On the 23rd. Mm-hmm.
So would you look at that? But they should do something in New York. I'm just saying, you know,
is like, Buffalo close to Cooperstown? Do you know?
It's closer to Cooperstown than it is to New York City.
Okay, because that's where the beer is. Obviously, the beer's coming out soon.
Duh. Yeah, the new Saison's coming out soon. How do you say
I
that?
I feel like they should cooperate with each other and have the new beer at the new premiere.
I'd love to have a premiere down in Perth as well. Maybe something just down the road at the Carolee Tavern. would be pretty good.
That
at the pub. Maybe they could send one actor. That would be good.
Just one.
Yeah,
we'll take Hot Pie.
How about Old Man?
Which one would you prefer?
Send us Hot Pie. Oh, yeah. God damn it.
Send us anyone that's died. We'll take anyone that's died too.
Yeah,
that's okay.
Hang
also.
On, because there's some Thrones actors who've been at Armageddon, I believe. Armageddon Expo, which is all in New Zealand and Australia. And also, isn't Perth harder to get to than like Thailand from Eastern Australia, even? Like in terms of cost to get to Perth?
Are you intentionally trying to shit on his parade here or what?
I am.
I've got taking a fucking dream. I've got a vision of having a premiere at the pub where Sir Dontos comes and fucking Hot Pie
fucking drinks
and we have a good time and we drink like champions and we all watch it. I mean, the other thing besides being, you know, famous for Heath Ledger and Sam Worthington is that it's the most isolated capital city in the world, is its other fact. So it is hard for people
fortified
to get
against White Walkers. You'll be fine.
Yeah, that's right. There's a wall. We have a wall. Bloody, it cuts us off from everyone else.
No, it's just called the
made
Outback,
from cold
right?
rolled
the wall
steel.
Is just the
you'll
Outback.
Be fine.
Yeah, it's just a series of snakes piled up on top of one another.
The biggest fucking snakes and the biggest fucking spiders you've ever seen.
Yeah, some fucking brown snakes, some death adders, some redback spiders thrown in there for good measure. Just
that's
a wall of dead
all
animals.
Of poison.
Hang on, we're talking about all these terrifying things. It sounds like we're discussing the new Game of Thrones Season 5 trailer.
I like that transition, Eric.
Thank you. Gun. Cha-ching, woo!
Top-notch work right there, my friend.
Oh, I love it.
So yeah, that's what the moment you all are waiting for. You guys have been waiting for it. We've been waiting to talk about it. We've been enjoying all of your tweets, all of your Facebook ramblings, musings, comments on Watchers on the Wall. It's just a really exciting time because this trailer was, I think, pretty damn fantastic. I
all
saw
right.
it live.
Great discussion.
So it was good. So thank you guys for listening to the
That's
show.
That's our time. Thank you.
We liked it. The end.
Yep, I'm off to the pub. Thanks. nice catch up. Good catch up.
Say hi to Dantos for me.
Yeah. As a sign of respect to our new friend here, I'll invite you now, Ozzyman, to tell us your thoughts on the trailer as we watch it together for the first time. Fellas, are you ready to dive into this?
I'm
because
so ready.
It's going to be exciting. Dragons. My body is ready.
Kingsley.
Well, whose voice is that? The bloody Khaleesi? Baratheon. Fucking smile, Stannis. Sansa looking more like her mum or Margaery.
They're all just spokes and all.
Yeah, what's wrong with the fucking wheel? Oh, there's fucking killing. Grey Worm. Wormsy. Bloody bridge over troubled water. Varys Tyrion. Margaery gets married for a billionth time. Oh, fucking more killing. Oh, bloody Jono, Longclaw, hood, beard. Oh, fucking Dragon. Look at that. He's fucking huge. What a ripper. Fuck off, Ramsay. Who's sword fighting?
I'm going to break the wheel.
Break the wheel, Dad? Yeah, all right. She's in a dark mood.
Stannis Baratheon has an army at Castle Black.
That's got Khaleesi's voice.
He means to take the north.
This is the time, and I
fucking Stannis, he's persistent, isn't he? He's fixated.
Winter is coming. We know
what's coming.
We know
winter is coming. We do know
that.
We
can learn to live with the wild
end. Oh, Jono's talking like a hippie.
We can add them to the army of the dead.
Now there's some vandalism in Marine, Arya.
Yeah.
Fucking some evangelist.
And the gods demand.
He's pretty scruffy, that old evangelist. Oh, fucking, oh, it's on now. Oh, someone smashed a head. Too soon since Oberyn. Daria's got to have his talk. Fucking, this is chaos now. Everyone is killing Baldbrick. Jamie with the left hand. Fucking Dario, Danny making love. Laria Paramore. Fucking Bronn. Yes, Bronn. Fuck yes, we love Bronn. This is chaos. Everyone is killing their fucking Struth. Bloody oath. Cheeky Raven.
Meat.
Fuck, that's an impressive dragon. There you go.
Wow.
Live.
Bravo. Can I say...
unbelievable.
All of that was gold. but the most closest to platinum... I felt was the fuck off, Ramsay, because that is what I thought Yeah. I saw.
I just pissed off already.
Some man.
Quite honestly, I'm just gonna be honest with the with you, Zach and Eric. I don't think we could top that if we wanted
no.
to. So we should not even try. Just the mental aptitude to be able to just call those scenes out and think of lines the way that Oz did. I mean, that is just fucking unbelievable.
Too soon.
That was a lot of blood in that head smash. Whoever that
was. It was a lot of blood, yeah.
He was using a rock or some kind of fucking
given
instrument
the size
to bludgeon.
Of that rock. Yeah, it was a lot of blood.
Yeah, it was like a watery fucking consistency to it, just spraying
yeah,
up.
It was strange blood, actually. Yeah. Now that I'm thinking about it.
Yeah. Well, it was yeah. But yeah, it was another. It's essentially another exploding head. That's what I got from that. And we know I've been traumatized by one in the past.
That's very true. It is a rule that we crop the left side out every single time. So it's only fitting when you're here.
If that was the smashing of a head of another fucking Martell character, bloody hell, that would be devastating.
Oh, man, not another Martell. We know we're getting to meet a bunch of those people. We're probably going to like them just like we like the other one.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a big pack of Martells. So I don't want to see any more have their fucking head caved in.
But no, like this whole thing about the trailer opening up with Daenerys is very her sights are focused on these other, or she's announcing these other houses, which obviously are playing a big game in the West, but don't have they have very little, if anything, to do with her in the conquering in the East. And it's a great opportunity for this. I mean, previous trailers have had a similar, like at least a narrative that shows you all the different areas, but this one in particular strikes me as being, they're showing, when she says Stark, they're showing the Starks, they're showing Sansa, you know, they're showing Baratheon, they're showing who's still left. So it's kind of like, cause I mean, a lot of people died in season 4. But they're still showing who's left, and they're showing, for instance, Cersei walking away from Jaime and Tywin's corpse. You know, like, it's a really good trailer for both the times and also looking forward to seeing these characters, because this trailer is basically characters in action. And the characters that we know and love in action, Ramsay's getting some action.
It's interesting that you raise that point, Eric, about how she mentions all the families, and that really the influence is in the West, but yet at the end of last season, we have members of those families who are now moving east.
That's
true.
We
talked about Arya earlier in the episode going to Braavos. Tyrion obviously is headed east. At least that's what we're led to believe, because he's with Varys in these trailers, and it looks like they're somewhere in the east. We don't know where. We can probably make some guesses, but
educated guesses.
We'll leave that to the actual show. And the story is starting to come a little bit full circle in a way. Same kind of shape as that wheel. And Daenerys has one of those lines that she has in every trailer. You know, I'm not going to stop the wheel. I'm going to break the wheel.
Yeah, conqueror.
I'm going to break the wheel.
There's a missed opportunity there. She could have said burn the wheel. You know. She's all about fire and the dragon.
Fire and blood, yeah.
Yeah, fire and blood.
Not too bad.
And when in actuality, Osmond, you know, back me up here, right? She's just going to sit in one of another slaver's city for the entire fucking
man.
Season and do nothing.
Yeah, it's always a thing, isn't it? It looks like, oh, Danny's plot's going to speed up a bit. She's going to fucking, yep, she's got the army. She's going away. But, it ends up in, she gets involved in politics.
But look at this throne. It's so convenient.
Her plot will be interesting, though, like, because she has taken, you know, she has made the decision, whereas she has talked about conquering, going back to Westeros and conquering, she has made the conscious decision to go, nah, I'll stay in Marine. I'll rule here. I'll build me CV. Get some credits. Get some credits on me resume
some experience before I go out west.
Yeah, before I go these fucking, you know, back to King's Landing, because that's a big deal. So at least she's made that conscious decision. So at least there is its own kind of separate plot in a way. And I hope and I think it will be quite interesting what goes on over in Marine for Dany, instead of just going from kind of slaver city, given a given a bloody speech about freedom, which is all great, good on it, but it gets a bit fucking tedious.
Imagine reading about it.
Let's just imagine that for
like,
a second.
Well, I'm sitting over here craving those texts that you're like shitting on. I'm like, please, I just want to read and be sullied like you. Please.
It's not entirely fair because as we've mentioned before, she's not in the fourth book. So it's really kind of like skips to the Dance with Dragons.
It seems like mostly book five. I don't know how much we're allowed to be book wankers here.
Not we much. Spoil. I mean, we can't really
Wait,
spoil
so you're
beyond.
A book wanker? You've read?
Yeah.
Oh, shit.
What, do I not seem like a highly intellectual...
No, you can read?
Fucking Aussie man can read. When did he... Who taught him that
trick? Humans are very
who
technical
taught him?
Lived in a fucking
tent outside
the
in
question
the woods.
Has never before occurred because when watching your videos, you're... reacting to what's on the screen versus what's in the books. That's all.
Right.
I guess we're on a similar wavelength then with your podcast. You don't become too much of a book wanker going, well, I believe this will happen because of la-da-da-da-da. Yeah, I try not to do that in me recaps and reviews as well.
But I would agree with, with your statement that Dany will probably be standing still. I mean, she's talking about the other houses that are in Westeros, and that's kind of exciting, but she's basically, apparently there's some kind of insurgence that happens because the harpy is falling. Who the hell knows with Dany, really? But somebody in this trailer, and this was pointed out to me by a Sullied friend, somebody in this trailer is the opposite of Dany in that she is getting around, and this appears to be the character of Sansa. Mm-hmm. Just even at 7 seconds, Sansa in this trailer has gloves on, and she's on some kind of hillside. And there is a flag in the background. I can't really pick out whose it is. But Sansa is seen throughout this trailer in a That's different... Aaron. Every time they show her, she's in a different environment. And I feel like this is, and it's only for obviously split seconds. No, there's not really a moment that particularly focuses on her all that greatly, but she is in a different scene every time they show her. And Sansa in particular, like, I know she didn't quite make the Entertainment Weekly cover, but she's another interesting
she should have.
Character who who is apparently doing big things this season. Unlike Dany, who may be staying where she is, but Dany's awesome. Like for other reasons, Dany's cool. We love watching Dany. But Sansa is really getting around in this trailer.
Yeah, well, I agree with what Zach said. You know, it looks to be House Aaron that we see in the background there. And we saw from the previous trailer, actually, there were troops marching with the sigil of House Aaron on their shields, I think it was. So we know that she is on the move. The question is, where is she going? I think later on in this trailer, you know, depending on how good your detective skills are, you're able to figure that out. And I think, you know, that's new territory for me because we've really reached Sansa's storyline in the books and the show, you know, so they've met basically. So anything that's beyond this point is new for book readers. And quite honestly, we don't even know if the story is true. Like we don't know if this is actually in the books where she's going.
Okay.
Right? How can we? We don't know.
Right. Because
her storyline is still in the Eyrie at the end of A Dance with Dragons.
We assume that she's... Do you feel like... Here's a question for everybody. Do you feel like she's taken in by Baelish? Like, I mean, do you think that she is going to be able to be manipulated? Considering how manipulative Baelish is in the series, do you think that she is behaving for him? Or do you think she's actually smart enough now to to sort of surpass him?
She's learned too much. She's learned too much.
Good question.
She's not.
Based on what she was wearing at the end of season four, I think she's pretty good on her own.
Yeah. She's,
okay. But
she's,
who made that for
she's
her?
Learned enough. Well, she's disguised as not Sansa Stark. So her change in hair color and outfit makes complete sense.
Right.
Mm-hmm. He's posing as a family member of hers, so I understand that.
But let's just say, as you get further in the trailer...
She's not quite there yet. Like, she's learning the game, essentially, is what I got at the end of season four. She hasn't completely learned the game, but, you know, she's learning not to be naive, not to be bloody living in a dream world. And Baelish... He's going to be taking credit for that, like, you know, I am a teacher, I've taught her that lying is the most powerful tool, but is she essentially, Sansa, I'm teaching you how to lie, is she essentially going to be playing him instead of Like, yeah. Has he got enough of a little arrogant ego going where he's like, oh, yeah, she's my fucking padawan, my little protege here. Right, whereas she will actually be playing him. Because, I mean, how much does she know that he loved her mum? Like, he's quite open about that. I mean, does she like that? Does she think that's icky? How much does she know about maybe his involvement in getting Ned fucking getting his head gone? Like, if she learns about that stuff a bit more... that, you know, he fucking betrayed Ned, that he sent the letter to Catelyn saying, oh, the Lannisters killed Jon Arryn. If she learns that shit, she's not going to fucking hang out with him anymore. That's friendship over.
Deals off.
If she's kind, maybe she's kind of in two minds, like, oh, yeah, I'll go along with him. I'll be his fucking, student. But if she learns a bit more about that shit, she'll fucking take him down, I reckon.
The thing with Sansa that I love, and love to think about, I catch myself thinking about this randomly in the middle of nowhere, in the middle of a day's work during the week, is that Sansa is married to Tyrion, and we realize this because it happened in the past season, but they're at opposite ends of the globe now, and their marriage is still something, you know, this is a series where marriage matters, and I really wonder how each character is going to play off or benefit the other, even from great distances. So like Sansa has that extra weight where she is a Lannister essentially of sorts. And you don't know if she's ever going to be able to call on that and, you know, use it to her advantage, but that is just kind of a weird thing that happened. And immediately both parties were separated from each other. But at the end of the day, it may still hold some weight, for certain characters that either character might encounter, you know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the Lannisters have a terrible, reputation, for the good guys, but yet he married a Stark. So it's like, well, if somebody has to, warm up to Tyrion, I mean, Tyrion's a good enough guy anyway, but just the Starks are very honorable, and the Lannisters are very cutthroat. So it's like both of those characters, though they are separate, could use each other as a reference on their CV, as you said, Ozzy. you know, just kind of been there, done that, curriculum vitae verified.
Wow. Let's talk about where she is, though, because I think that is of importance.
I mean, she's underground. There's candles.
The shot of her with the candle, it's very clear. I'm looking at a collection of the frame grabs.
Thank you, watchers.
We've compiled lots of things, and because this is an exciting time, there's stuff to compile. But the shots, to me, it's rather clear where she is, and I think that
I don't think it's a spoiler to say it. Like, I don't think it's a spoiler for me to say. It's funny. We were having, like, a little text conversation about this, the three of us, earlier in the week. Like, well, is it really a spoiler to talk about this? Well, not really, because this is new territory for everybody. It's a trailer. It's out there. People are speculating on it. And like I said, it's new territory, so it's really fair game for anybody to say what they think.
Well, to me, it's not surprising to see Sansa in the crypts of Winterfell. That's what it appears to be to me.
I was so hopeful. You think that's Winterfell?
I haven't seen any other crypts that I know of.
Yeah. Just judging by the establishing shots where she is, the landscape matches everything that we've seen of Winterfell. Her wardrobe would suggest that it's cold. I just think that it makes the most sense.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right. Yeah, nah, bloody lock it in.
But the thing is, it doesn't surprise me the way that it would a book reader, because all of this is the same to
all of it's new,
especially to the general population watching the show. I don't think that this is going to mean anything extra to them, but obviously to those of you listening that have read, I mean, here are more pieces of evidence to say that you're in for a ride on season 5. So yeah, it's gonna be cool.
We're in for a ride, Oz.
Enjoy the ride.
Enjoy.
Saddle up your kangaroo.
Saddle up, partner.
Saddle up your kangaroo for one hell of a bloody ride.
Kick the joey. Square on his ass.
We've heard Winterfell has been burned to the ground. I mean, clearly that wouldn't include the underground parts, right? Like the caverns, the crypts.
No,
rather.
But...
But what's her business there? Like, I really want to know. I mean, is there an ancient... Stark.
Couple of
maybe
things.
Visit her father's grave.
Yeah.
Hang on, because one of the chapters we just read, so there's some question about whether or not Ned Stark's bones ever even made it to Moat Cailin, let alone Winterfell. But I mean, is there some ancient Stark that has like something buried with him that she needs, like the horn of the wolf, the horn of...
oh, come on now.
I mean, come on, you know, like what's going on, though?
Emotions. Feelings. She's got feelings. It's her home.
She's a person.
She's getting some catharsis there. That's why she's there all the way at Winterfell, where she probably had to dodge a dozen thousand of Bolton's men, by the way, to get under there.
Yeah.
That's what makes it interesting.
She's traveling in disguise with House Aerys. I don't think
she's the cousin or whoever.
I don't think it raises any flags. I think that that makes the most sense to me. Otherwise, I don't think she could have made it to Winterfell without causing a fuss, knowing how she exited King's Landing.
Boltons are the bannermen to the Starks, and they wouldn't be able to recognize Sansa if they looked at her. Like, that's crazy.
Well, Theon sure as hell could. That's all I have to say. Yeah, I know she has a different hair color, but...
But he's Reek now.
Yes,
he's
Master.
Not Theon. Well, and what's even more interesting is, like, you have this convergence of characters, and in an interview, Sophie Turner actually talked about getting a chance to work with people she hasn't in a while, so I think that that may have been a tip of interacting with
that makes sense.
Theon slash Reek, but also
I'm super excited about that.
You have the Boltons
involved
here. You also have a line in this trailer that Stannis Baratheon has an army at Castle Black and he means to take the North. So what does that mean for the Boltons?
That's interesting. Yeah, who's speaking when that is said? Who is speaking?
Sure who's speaking.
Oh, Bolton. Bruce Bolton. Yeah, Bruce Bolton.
Oh. Yeah.
Stannis Baratheon has an army at Castle Black.
Thank you.
He means to take the North.
Can't quite pinpoint the voice. You know, I'm not there yet on the voice. But if Bolton is saying that he means to take the North, and Bolton is clearly aware that Baratheon is up at the wall.
God. And Stannis replies, this is the time and I will risk everything. Can I just say, I know that we're not analyzing this trailer in direct sequence, which I think is a little bit more interesting because we can kind of allow the conversations to flow. Can I just say, honorable mention, let's just talk about it for one moment, how kingly Stannis was in this trailer, all right? Right?
Yeah.
With his furs pretty and kingly. His facial hair. Just killing it, all right? Just absolutely killing it. Stannis Baratheon, ladies and gentlemen.
King of the North.
Exactly.
I've never really looked forward to scenes north of the wall as much as I will be this current season. And, you know, I just feel that way, knowing that from the Day in the Life trailer, they built this whole village that looks like Jon Snow sails to. But also just the fact that Stannis is there, and Stannis is still the person besides Daenerys who has the biggest claim, right, to the throne. I just feel like with this whole new army, his whole fancy schmancy army, he can cause some damage and maybe retake Winterfell for our good friends, the Starks, who have dearly departed.
Just coming from Jon's line in the trailer, he says, winter is coming. We know what's coming with it. We can learn to live with the wildlings, or we can add them to the army of the dead. Just knowing that Stannis is the only guy right now that gives a flying shit about the real troubles in the story.
Somebody has to care.
It's awesome.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah.
There's a fun visual aesthetic with the trailer too, going between this freezing cold winter is coming territory in the north to these bloody exotic locations in Dawn and whatnot and fucking
right.
over
with
East
their
as well.
Lavish facial hair, fruit vendors on the street.
It's just fun visually.
It is.
You guys think that the crews hate each other? The crews that get to work in the hot, like, awesome environment. Just can't
you get
stand
to go to fucking
people.
Spain? Oh, bullshit.
Can't stand the group who's in Iceland, you know, all the time.
Oh, Kit Harington would be angry.
It all looks beautiful, but there's one place I'd rather be, and it's not where they're shooting the wall scene.
Yeah, yeah. So you got the crew that's doing, like, shooting in 1300s Spain locations. It's like, fucking, you know, they get to do some awesome sightseeing, they get the bloody nice weather, and there's cut to Kit Harington fucking having some warm soup, cranky.
Spoon feeding him.
Yeah, another fucking fight scene near hot fire and snow and fucking.
But I think that line has a lot of things that can be read into. Especially, we can learn to live with the wildlings, or we can add them to the army of the dead.
That's a big deal.
You know, are we looking at a potential alliance here,
treaty
moving forward to fight the common enemy?
Well, I hope so. I know that there was a shot of Tormund, and we know that he's still alive from last season. So.
That's
I'm glad
good.
To see
That's
a familiar really character back, although he looks like he's in distress, so I'm not sure what the deal is there. But either way, he is a very welcomed addition to Season 5. Glad that you're coming, Mr. Giantsbane.
Yeah, he's out and about, apparently during some attack. I'm not sure. I think I see some Thens in there as well. Some other Thens that weren't previously known, but it's just this idea that the wildlings... And not that they can be tamed, but knowing full well that Mance Rayder is also apparently, I mean, he's the man who united all the wildling armies, the separate wildling armies, together to begin with. And so the idea that he's also could be appealed to reason with them to get them to back the Baratheon cause, or rather just to stay put so that Baratheon can get shit done. I don't know. I don't know what kind of talks are going to happen because I'm completely new to this, but I feel like it'll be really fascinating stuff on the north side of the wall.
It's going to be awesome. I'm excited. And Brienne is somewhere where it's snowing. So let's think about that for a second, folks.
You know what? I saw that, and I was like, you know what, Brienne, you fucked up, completely blew.
That's the wrong way.
Completely blew your opportunity to no.
Who are you even
Arya.
Looking for? Where are you? I'm wandering around. I know I have some kind of mission. I'm supposed to fucking protect a Stark. I'm ended up in snow.
I swore an oath.
She blew it with Arya. Okay, nobody's questioning that. She blew it. She did not win Arya's trust. She blundered her way through it. I'm like, at least there's this hope that she will be useful in this new season in a new way.
Yeah.
And Pod just looks bummed.
Yeah.
Pod's not happy to be there.
Yeah, you know? He's not eating well. He's depressed. He's, the whole mission, he's confused.
He needs to really use his third leg a lot.
She's got
to
feed and water Pod three times a day. It's getting rough.
After his time with Tyrion of just, wine and whoring, it's like, fuck this. What, how'd I end up here?
Oh, man. Yeah, that would be a terrible comparison, right? Like, all I did was wine and whoring, and now I'm with Brienne on this north skirts of the wall. Yeah, wherever the hell he is.
That's where geographically speaking, that's where we know has snow. And so, just speaking from that.
Do you guys see the same screenshot? Is this a structure? Is it like a cabin, or is it like more of like on a wagon?
It kind of looks like a wagon, but I'm not sure.
Kind of like on a wagon.
It's got a window, whatever it is.
It does have a window, and there seems to be maybe a fire.
It's a clubhouse for the children of the forest.
It's a clubhouse, yeah, exactly.
The children of the forest.
The children of the forest have clubhouses? Yeah. Man.
They got a cubby, the password is Hordor.
Exactly.
That's why he always says it. Gosh, it makes so much sense.
You know, it almost looks like something that would be on the top of like a mammoth. You know how like they have those things on the back of them?
Oh, man.
They have little clubhouses on their mammoths, is what it is.
They do.
Oh, man.
Yeah. Finally, those structures have a name. Peter Jackson, you're welcome.
What about, just to jump around incoherently again, what about that raven at the end when the third or fourth last shot's there? Because there's, talk or it's confirmed that Bran and the Sandlot kids won't be in season 5.
Well, especially not Jojen. I mean,
well, he's gone. Yeah, Jojen's a goner. R.I.P.
R.I.P. Jojen.
But that raven at the end, is that a hint that maybe there's a tiny cameo? I don't know, the three-eyed raven and the green seer, or is it just a regular raven that's got a message?
I mean, it's on a corpse. It's probably there to eat rather than deliver a message. Yeah. But I think it's still a worthwhile question. Where it's like, could you further the Bran and Hodor and Mira Reed storyline without showing Bran and Hodor and Mira Reed? Can you do that somehow? Because in the books that happens. In the books you get sort of characters' plot lines furthered beyond their POV chapters. All the time that happens. And there's plenty of characters who aren't POV characters whose plot lines are forwarded, rely on others. So I feel like, I don't know, it'd be kind of cool to see what more can be learned about the children without necessarily seeing Bran's lessons.
It seemed like maybe they were alluding to warging still, is all I was thinking.
I think so.
Is there still someone warging? Is warging going to have a bloody, and Greensight going to have an influence that we may not learn about this season, but it'll be like, he was behind that event that time.
Mm-hmm. And if you're dealing with people north of the wall, I feel like it's natural that you would see some Greensight and some warging, because that's where that shit takes place.
Yeah, and Bran has walked into fucking Summer and helped Jono out when they were in the little lighthouse place.
Queen's Crown.
We just read that chapter, too.
Oh, all right. Yeah, nice. Wait, that happened in the series, too. Yeah, but you made me panic. It's like, wait, did I spoil something?
There's no turning back after what happened at the end of last season with the tree. You know what I'm saying? Like, after seeing what we saw and the fireballs.
Would you say they jumped the shark?
No, they didn't.
Like dangerously?
Definitely not.
Line?
No, definitely not. I think it's, what I mean to say is all of our theories on this probably aren't even wild enough. Like, how do you eclipse what has happened? That's probably why, at the bottom of everything, there's less of that coming in this season. It'll really kill us in season 6, most likely. It's going to be exciting. I'm excited. Like, where do we go from here?
I'm excited. Yeah, the whole look of it, the new locations, some of the new characters should be fun as well. The Martells possibly coming in, having more of an influence too, is a good thing.
Now, seeing their shots, I know we saw the whip in the previous trailer, but seeing their shots and also seeing Jaime and Bronn appearing to be fighting some Dornish men as well, that is exciting and awesome.
For how much I felt that Dorne was going to play just from the, you know, the character introduction when they all introduce all the Sand Snakes and Doran Martell, who's an actor that I am really looking forward to seeing on the show. I wanted to see more Doran, but they're kind of keeping it secret, I think, through these in terms of how large a part Doran will play in this next season.
They mix it in with the marine shots quite well, I think, because you'll go from something like that shot with the whip and the bold prick and a scorpion or whatever, and it's like, I think, oh, is that Doran? And then it's like it flips to a similar environment that looks like marine. So they mix it in quite nicely that it's just like, oh, there's an onslaught of exotic locations.
Yeah, exactly.
So yeah, they're keeping, they got to keep some cards close to their chest, because there are a bunch of shots that were the same as in trailer one as well. Yeah.
Exactly.
It's like, oh, yep, seen that one. And remember, that one's new.
Yeah, with any trailer, I mean, they're trying to fake you out. Like, do you really think that when Tyrion's looking up at the sky, he's looking at Drogon? Or is that just cut extremely
well? Well, considering the poster. I mean,
that does nothing but lend more evidence to that. Like, I think it might be a stretch. It would be pretty amazing if it happened that way. But I think it's just a little bit of an...
It seems they've committed to it. Between the trailer and the poster, it looks like that's the one big thing that they thought, all right, let's commit to Tyrion crossing paths with Drogon. Like, if they backtracked on that, it's kind of false advertising. Like, you can fake out.
You're right.
You got to be careful. You got the lines can get blurred between false advertising and doing a classy fake out. So they've gone quite far with that. It would be interesting if they reneged, I think. So I hope they don't.
That's actually true.
There's a lot of battles going on in this trailer. Like, from
Brienne's fighting a piece of wood.
Yeah. What's up with that?
Wood, man.
She's lost it. I mean, at least fight somebody that's going to fight back. That's true. You know? Come on. But yeah, Marine, Dorne, Brienne, you have, you know, everything that's going on up north, it seems like, with at the wall, or at least in and around the wall. It's just, there's a lot of action taking place.
At 108, there's a guy who's just smashing chess pieces off a table. He's really angry at the table.
I didn't properly see that one. It's just, oh, yeah, someone's getting angry at a tournament.
I mention it because it leads into, there's this scene I want to ask you guys. There's a guy who lunges at another, I'm assuming it's a guy, right at 108, that reminds me of Lost. But anyway, going in, right after the guy smacks the table with his whip, there's somebody seated, and, oh, you know what, now that I pause it at the right moment, it looks like Tommen is on one side, and the Cersei. Lady of Flowers is on the other. But who is angry at Tommen? See, I have high hopes for Tommen's reign, even though I feel it's illegitimate watching the show. I'm super excited about Margaery now being married to Tommen. We see the wedding in this trailer. You know, I'm actually hopeful because Tommen is not nearly the monster that Joffrey was. But who is this guy that's now lunging at, presumably, at, if that is Tommen, and why is this, you know, is this another further, like, big plot point here where there's a fundamental disagreement about something?
I don't know. Is he lunging at Tommen, or because Tommen looks to be seated on the other side, or is that the frame before?
He's not lunging at Tommen. Tommen is watching him do the lunging, and it looks like the High Sparrow is also there, and it looks like Cersei's there, and Margaery's there, and we have some members of the Kingsguard, and the man from the frame appears to be a bearded and out of luck Loras Tyrell. So
you think it's Loras? I thought it was Loras too.
Or Joffrey. He's back. Here's Joffrey.
Just when you thought it was Oliver. Oh, man.
The leech actually worked in reverse direction. I'm sorry.
Qyburn did some work on him, no worries.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh,
he won't be the same. He will be.
What is he
different.
Up to?
Will he be weaker?
Oh, no.
But speaking of the High Sparrow, Zach, you mentioned him. That's just one scene where, you know, there seems to be a little bit of angst going on amongst the Tyrells and potentially the Lannisters. And we know just from other scenes in the trailer that the Lannisters look like they're in a bit of a situation, especially when they surround Tommen and Cersei.
Yeah.
A little bit later on.
The robed men, which I'm assuming the Evangelist has something to do with.
Yeah.
And can I just say, he, in only a brief line, managed to capture my attention outrageously. I was very, very, very excited to hear Jonathan Pryce getting announced for his part in this new season. But yeah. I am even more excited now after finally seeing some action. Like, it is going.
It was
to
a fun
so
line
cool.
of dialogue. We are the many. It's like, yeah,
mm-hmm.
I'm on the
you
side.
You are the
I'm
few.
And I'm one of them.
We serve the gods. The gods to men.
It's interesting to have a character like his in this fifth season, because the Lannisters have gotten away with so much shit without any like godlike repercussions, right?
That's true, yeah.
And just to have a guy demand justice for the gods, or to have a maester suddenly become this important character in this season, as he appears to be. I mean, there's this huge, you know, his announcement that he'll be this guy, this important guy, played by, you know, such a known actor as Jonathan Pryce. I'm just thinking, what is this storyline now where the Seven, who have kind of taken a backseat, I feel like the last few seasons have all been about the Red God. And now for the spokesperson for the Seven to come forward and say these gods demand justice. It's just like, what the hell could that possibly entail?
The gods demand justice. Like, what if what's happening here is like, just basically everyone's like, all right, listen, you guys have been playing this Game of Thrones long enough. Like, we're at our second king and a while, or we're our third king in a short amount of time. We're at our third, you know, like the same girl that just tried to marry, or that just married his big brother who was killed at his last wedding, is getting married to him again. Like, what if this is, they're just like, all right, slow down. We need to check some stuff out. Systematically speaking, let's just see what's going on here. I mean, I feel like those same guys in robes are the ones who were breaking the casks of what I can only assume to be ale or some kind of delicious liquid for fun time. Maybe I feel like they're revolting against fun now. They're like,
there's some kind of prohibition plotline going on. It's like, tipping out the booze, it's illegal.
Nope. Yeah. No more of this.
I mean, I will just say, you know, we've kind of danced around this a bit, you know, in previous years even. You know, we've talked a lot about how the Lannisters, they seem to always just get by with the skin of their teeth, so to speak. You know, it's always these other families that suffer so much. And I think finally, you know, with what happened to Tywin at the end of last season, the Lannisters are finally starting to get their comeuppance.
Right.
And I will say, like, I have no issues stating this because I don't think it's really a spoiler, but you know, Cersei has a unbelievable scene this year, and I'm really looking forward to seeing it.
Easy, Tiger.
Damn it.
easy. Back it up. Back it up, Micah. Again, danger zone ahead.
Yeah, I think we've given a good overview of the trailer and kind of dug into the parts that we're really interested in. I know there's probably a lot that we didn't touch on, but that's because there's just so much in there. And we can literally sit there and pick apart every scene ad nauseum, especially as we start to get you know, more feedback from you, the listeners. But we did get some in. Of course, we posted the trailer on Facebook, so we got a number of people who scrawled upon our wall. We'll read your owns in just a few minutes here. And also on Twitter, twitter.com/GameOfOwns, a bunch of you tweeted in. So we're going to get to those owns really quickly, but
before we dive into the business, we must present a very fond, friendly, frenzied farewell to our Mister from Another Sister.
Yes.
Our great mate.
The Thunder from Down Under.
The Thunder from Down Under. Ah. There you go. Go with that.
And say bye to you, Ozzy man. This has been a great pleasure for us. We're obviously huge fans, and this is good. I hope our listeners had a great time meeting you.
Yeah, no worries. Thanks very much for having me. It's been great to have a chat. Like, my videos are always, you know, 6-8 minutes or whatever. So it's nice to really just sit down and bash things out thoroughly with a bunch of top blokes. So cheers for having me. And if your listeners want to follow any of me shit, it's just Aussie Man Reviews wherever you go. OZZY on YouTube, on Facebook, and on that bloody the one with the bird Twitter. So thanks very much. Thanks very much for having me, boys.
No, thank you. Yeah.
Hey man, been a fucking blast.
Cheers, guys. I'll talk to you more later.
Now that we've said a fond farewell to our very special guests, it's time for housekeeping, homework, and the lovely words from listeners like you. Gentlemen?
As mentioned, we did get a number of owns on Facebook, and the first comes from Claire, who says, Drogon is a big boy. Tyrion seeing him do a flyby, if it's not tricksy editing, is everything.
Everything in caps. Tyrion. Okay, so Drogon, can I just say, guys, I saw the trailer for the first time on my phone, sitting in my car in the sunlight with a slight glare. And
did it scare you?
It scared me there as well. Strike was in the back seat, and he was like, what the hell is that? And I was like, it's a dragon. It's not real. Calm down, buddy.
It's a dragon.
Huge, massive, terrifying. Can we just say, remember Drogon last when we did the episode, and I think that the episode was titled Holy Drogon. We were like, look how big he is and those wings. What about now?
Yep.
If that was Drogon, yep. Because it's hard to even say because they're at a scale that's just unbelievable if that's what dragons are looking like now.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Drogon is the one that she can't control the most. She chained up the other two. And I feel like if he has managed to survive on a diet, well, I mean, not managed to survive, but if he's been surviving on a diet of his choosing, eating what he wants, when he wants, where he wants, getting his own food, and just completely ravaging the fuck out of the countryside, then he is
yeah, managed, well, that's what he's doing.
He's managed to grow. And I mean, even in this clip, Daenerys seems to be regretting the fact that she can't control him because she's looking up as he flies away. Presumably, I mean, I'm guessing he's about to do some damage on the city that is in the background.
Maybe. I mean, I jokingly said he would look like he was about to do his best Smaug impression
from the end of the dust, right? So, I mean, that is a very big possibility. I mean, she was not able to get control of him, and she never will be, as far as I'm concerned or guessing. But
good to know she's at least reaching out to him.
I mean, if she's trying. She's trying as a mother. She's got to give it the old college try. If it is Tyrion that's seeing him, though, I mean, just think about that, like, being the first person. Yeah. Like, for Daenerys, it's like the excitement is worn off, but being the first person to see a dragon, actually not just seeing their skulls beneath the, you know, in the crypts beneath in King's Landing, actually seeing a dragon fly is just, like, a symbol. I mean, dragons are a symbol of power, but they're a symbol of fucking magic that's been gone forever.
Yeah, it's going to say a lot of different things about what's happening. If Tyrion does see it, that'll be one of our principal characters coming to a realization that we've been living with. So it'll be a nice payoff for us if that's really what happens.
So along with that mystical element, we've got another own. It's a very human element from Christina V. Klein, who says, Bronn fighting someone. Mm-hmm. Definitely delighted. Brienne somewhere snowy. So excited. Oh, I wonder if this will all rhyme. Tyrion's love for dragons, hopefully not unrequited. Mm. Holy shit.
This is killing
Jaime and Dorne to prove why he's knighted.
Mm.
Sand Snake's loud round of applause. Mirini's action. Thank the gods. Thank you, Christina Klein.
Damn good own, Christina.
Yeah,
Crystal cool. Smith Murphy writes, my Khaleesi breaking some wills, petting her bad child, Drogon, trying not to be a butcher or the meat. As Dario puts it.
Dario's getting some serious bedtime with her in this trailer.
Taking a nap.
Tutor Vlad says, first, I was surprised by how much better the wheel line was with the added context.
Agreed.
All the Sansa parts made me feel like Unsullied, and I loved it. That last shot with Dany and Drogon, though, that made me jump and grin like an idiot.
Me too,
jump
pal.
And grin.
Me too.
It's a typical Game of Thrones reader response.
Yeah, me too.
Well, of course, Grace is very on the nose with her own Sansa in Winterfell.
That's it. Tim Mulligan wrote, Sansa in Winterfell takes the cake. Book readers' minds are collectively blown.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what she's doing there, but I'm excited.
Just have a little visit, you know what I'm saying? A little baby visit.
What's interesting, though, I noticed in the trailer, too, a little bit later on, there was that still screenshot of what looked like Aaron's troops, like, moving into what appeared to be, like, a rebuilt Winterfell. Like, if you look through the archway, you can see, like, there are different parts of the actual structure that are being rebuilt. It's, like, wood there, and so maybe that's another hint as to where they're going.
Oh.
Yeah, so we thank everybody for sending their owns in on Facebook. And, of course, you can do the same, facebook.com/gameofowns. We also got a number of owns sent to us on Twitter, just @gameofowns. And a very famous individual wrote in to us for the first own. Brienne of
Tarth.
One of
my favorites.
Oh, good to see you up north, Brienne. I hope you're going to get some redemption there.
Stay
for
warm,
your
Brienne.
Tragic failure.
Stay warm.
My own goes to Dany for bitching about the families on the proverbial wheel while ignoring the fact that the Targaryens were on it too. I suppose that's not entirely fair since the Targaryens were on top of the wheel for 300 odd years. I just don't like Dany.
No, you're right, though.
She's saying it's a bit contradictory for her to be making this statement when her family has spent so much time ruling.
To me, though, that's not part of the wheel. that's being the axle that holds the wheel. I mean, there's all these other families in the Seven Kingdoms, but for the longest time, the only one that really mattered was Targaryen. But now, in service of this trailer, these other spokes, these families that are crushing other families, they're vying for power.
Mm-hmm.
They're trying to be on top. But, I mean, I think it's particularly poignant for Dany to say this because her family, like, she's the one who wants to overtake the West.
We also heard from Roz, so we hear from a variety of Game of Thrones characters. She says, my own? Definitely Stannis. The image of him in Northern Furs is just setting up for a badass battle. Stannis, Stannis, Stannis.
I agree.
Completely. I share that enthusiasm with you, Russ. We heard from Robert Williams, who says, my own for quick response goes to Game of Thrones. Was it Micah? Can we say that yet? The Hound Rule.
Yes.
Who called a new trailer last podcast.
I think you did, yeah.
Micah, did you predict something?
Yeah, I guess I did.
Our next tweet is from Mon Nuclear Bomb.
Sounds pretty serious.
It does sound serious. He says, own for the trailer goes to a pending Stannis-Bolton showdown for the North. Runner-up to Jaime sporting some fly Dornish gear.
Yeah.
And some Nike shocks, if I saw correctly, but I could be wrong.
I thought I saw those, too. You know, our listeners are very good and, you know, attentive to detail and, you know, got pointed out on a number of fronts. You know, Sansa appearing to be in Winterfell, Jaime in Dornish garb, and then really what looks to be like an impending showdown between Stannis and the Boltons. So at least from what, you know, we heard in that trailer. So I'm sure there's other things that people picked up on. So feel free to reach out to us. Let us know. Social media is usually the best way to do that through our ownage program, facebook.com/gameofowns.
Our and scholarship, course, will be announced at the end of season 5.
Exactly. The best.
Don't make any promises, Micah.
Absolutely. Give a scholarship of 10,000 camel balls to the best season 5 own.
Please.
That's a lot of money.
To those of you who are new listeners, that those are actual candies. Those aren't actual things.
No, we're not.
We're talking about the candy version of camel balls.
You can.
We're not
going to
neuter like 10,000 camels.
I would never, ever, ever do that. I just want to say thank you on behalf of all of us for hanging out with us. We had a great time with Ozzy Man. He was an excellent guest, and we were very excited to have him on. And thank you for all of your tweets, messages. I know that this is a very busy time for everyone, including us, and it's coming at a wonderful time in our lives because season 5 is approaching. So it's like the coals are on the fire. You know, things are moving, and it's time to get cracking. And we're excited. The site's very busy with news. The community is thriving with all of this extra attention to detail to all of these things that are coming at us. And we are in the midst of finishing up A Storm of Swords.
As was alluded to, I think on the last episode, you know, we're going to stop at the Red Wedding for the time being. I think it just aligns perfectly with the start of the season. You know, just as things like what happened with this episode trailer popped up, we know that there's going to be some other things that are going to be demanding our attention, that are going to be things that you all are going to want to weigh in on and talk about. And, you know, we are exactly now a month away from the premiere of season 5. So it is likely that we're going to start to see some new, cool, interesting things related to the season. So next week, the plan is to do Arya and Catelyn. Catelyn arrives with Rob at The twins. Arya is not far behind. So I know we put out an ask for owns already on Facebook and Twitter, but you know, feel free to send in more. And also through email, contact@gameofowns.com. You can email us anytime about anything you want. Doesn't have to be Game of Thrones related. We're happy to hear what you have to say.
And keep in mind, there are some episodes between now and then, plenty of opportunities for some interestingness. And let me just say, we have at least one very special guest planned to throw your way, and it's going to be very interesting. And this is something that we were able to discuss with our small council recently over the weekend. I was in the middle of a 24-hour traveling expenditure, and we still managed to, all of us, meet with our small council. So can we just say thank you to you guys?
Our small council is the best.
Helping us make some of these big decisions.
As Zach mentioned, we will have some interesting guests between now and the start of season 5. Perhaps with some music in the background, maybe.
Perhaps
right?
a little.
Or the foreground, Mike.
Or just on.
Or just on. Yeah, we'll just play music.
We're just going to play music. That's going to be the
Simply
episode.
Simply the best.
Also, as was mentioned, though, we do appreciate everybody who supports the show, including our small council, who we spent time with over the weekend in very interesting parts of the country.
In Arizona.
There's a great picture we'll share with you. Of course, if you'd like to, you can support the show over at patreon.com/goo. It is something we definitely appreciate, but it also gives you the opportunity to get access to bonus content, you know, things that we talk about before and after we record the show. We do some chapter readings where Eric acts like a British nobleman, or at least has... has what? The music of a British nobleman.
A British nobleman. I've never heard it described that way. For all of the people interested in learning about Patreon, we just had an amazing video chapter. It's like 25 minutes of video compiled by
none other than Zach.
We really had a wonderful chapter 5, which, can I just say that was chapter 5? Chapter 5 is an amazing experience, and Micah and myself are looking at providing a lot of the content that's going to go into chapter 6 just from this weekend, because he's joining me in the wonderful town of Chicago for the wonderful St. Patrick's Day festivities, and can I just say that's going to make up probably as much as we possibly can make it of the next chapter of the show. But really just, you know, our experiences, our travels, talking about Game of Thrones coming into the 5th season. It's going to be the last, you know, sort of chapter of content that we can produce
That's
without
true.
Actually watching the show.
I hope that you guys enjoyed the 5th chapter starring my friend Eric Skull.
I certainly did.
Who I managed to film. I think 70% of the footage, he wasn't aware that I was filming him. So
I was not actually aware, that you were filming
it. It was a lot of fun. We had a good time with it. So hopefully all of you that subscribe to us and support us had a good time.
I think that pretty much wraps things up, right? You know, we're looking forward to next week with Catelyn and Arya.
Man, Walder Frey is such a...
The penultimate Catelyn chapter.
It's an egregiously late night for us, but we're very happy to be here with all of you. It's an exciting time for the show. Like I've said before, and I will say again, both our podcast, both the television series, and it's exciting for everyone that's a fan, not only the folks who are directly or indirectly involved. And there are much more things to speak about. There are a lot more bases that we would have loved to have covered, but I'm afraid, my friends, we have ran out of time for this week. So from our hearts and homes to yours, please tune in next week. We'll be back.
Goodbye.
Bye.
You guys didn't respond to my text about them playing that at Meyer today.
Well, we will. We'll get to it.